Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, that sound means one thing. It is sex and relationship therapy. As always, a little ears warning with this one. But remember, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. Our resident sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook, is here to talk through all your problems. And this week we have libido. We have loads of relationship ones. We have people who are heartbroken, people who can't get it up, the whole shebang. Rachel's on the line. Hiya, Rachel.
Hiya. I'm very glad we have so many, as always.
An array of problems. Okay, we'll kick off. Where do we want to start? Okay, here we go. Hi, Jen. I'd like to remain anonymous with this one, but I'm having an ongoing situation with my girlfriend. We started living together a few months ago. And it's been working out great for the most part. However, I'm finding that she has a much higher sex drive than I do most of the time. I'm without a doubt still attracted to her the same way as I was at the beginning of the relationship, which is lovely to hear. It's just simply that a lot of the time I'd rather have an early night. My job is quite physically demanding. I can tell this often causes frustration for her and can lead to tension between us. Any advice?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say talk to her about what both of your kind of range of ideal situations in terms of sex would be, you know, because what I find happens for a lot of couples is it starts off feeling like they're absolutely miles apart. And actually, it's usually the sort of range of quantity of sex is often much closer to each other than you'd expect. Maybe one person would like to have sex once or twice a week and the other person would like to have sex, you know, kind of 3 to 5 times a week. So then you can maybe find a balance between 2 and 3 times without having to have a scoreboard, because that can often get very painful for one or both people involved when it's kind of like tapping the board going, you haven't had enough sex with me, or you've been kind of hounding me for too much sex. But I think another thing that you can do is, what ways of engaging physically or sexually would be less time and energy intensive for the person who's written in, but still enriching and satisfying for their partner? So it might be that instead of having penetrative sex, if that feels particularly tiring or ends up going on for quite a long time, you might just have oral sex, or you might focus just on her. And stuff like that. And it also, the last thing I would say here is, it might not only be about sex for your partner. It might be about words of affirmation, physical contact, touch, and affection. Yeah. Getting your undivided attention. So it might be that when you talk about this a bit more, you discover that actually she'd be very happy with you having less sex if she was sort of getting more of your attention and physical affection instead.
Communication is key, I would say.
Always.
Here we go. Hi there. I'm in my 30s. I'm happily married, 4 children, and I've just gone off sex. I enjoy it, but I just have no sex drive. So this is the other way. It's making my husband miserable. Please help.
Yeah. So sometimes this can be hormonal. Sometimes it's about being depressed or anxious or very stressed. Sometimes it's about being touched out by having kids swinging out of you all day. It could also be about feeling disconnected from yourself, your body, your partner. I think, you know, there's lots of reasons that we can go off sex or become much more interested in it. Sometimes it's quite difficult to know exactly what it is, but certainly might be worthwhile taking some time to just consider those different things for yourself. And also question, what do you mean by drive? Because drive means different things to different people.
Yes.
Is it lack of, because this person has said that they enjoy sex when they're having it, but is it that what they mean is that they have a lack of desire to initiate? Maybe it's that they're in a more responsive than spontaneous desire part of their lives, where, you know, they can just talk to their partner and work out what ways they can communicate to each other that you know, they would really like for one person to initiate, or they're kind of up for sex, or sort of up for sex, or definitely not up for sex, because, you know, she's saying that her husband is driven mad by it, but we don't exactly know why. Is that because, you know, he feels very cut off from her emotionally and physically, and that, again, it might not be specifically or only about sex, but it also might be. So just have more conversations about it.
Yeah, I think with the last two especially, we get this quite a bit. It's all to do with libido, when you're, and people feel that they have a higher or lower than their partner and they're not satisfying their partner, and there's all of that. And it all comes down to, I mean, really finding a connection, finding other ways to connect, isn't it? You said it there. It's not just about penetrative sex. There's other ways you can feel connected and both be satisfied. So just finding an array, which makes it more interesting for the couple as well.
Definitely. And as you know, there, it, that can be within sex and outside of sex.
Yeah.
You know, I think it can also be very helpful to expand what you mean by sex. Because having a, you know, kind of naked massage together that doesn't necessarily have to end in PIV, you know, penis and vagina sex, or, you know, doesn't have to end in orgasms necessarily, but can just mean that you have a bit of kind of sensual contact with each other and gives you a bit of a pep in your step for the next day, can be absolutely lovely and far less tiring. You know, for some people, particularly with penises, ejaculating can be very tiring. And so even though it can feel sort of relieving and satisfying and maybe stress relieving, for some people, it makes them feel really wrecked for hours afterwards. So that's also something to consider, that, you know, they might yeah. still want pleasure, but not necessarily to
exhaustion. Okay, yeah. Let's. I got a lot in this morning, actually, when I did a call out. I'm just going to read some out to you. This
Go
person
on.
Says, "Hi, I caught my husband downloading gay porn numerous times. I confronted him about it and he actually denied it. We are together 20 years. He does not seem very into me sexually. I think he's gay and he just won't admit it. Please help."
Well, there's got to be more chat about this. You know, there's so many possibilities here. You know, this her husband could be bisexual. He could also be straight and just is interested and turned on by watching gay porn. It might also mean that, you know, they're really struggling, or he's really struggling in their marriage. And so it sounds like you need to have a chat mm-hmm. and probably a set of chats. About, you know, you might also be, if maybe both of you are quite happy not engaging with each other sexually very much or at all.
And that's
this person
okay.
hasn't said.
Yeah.
Say, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
okay as well, isn't it? Let's just be clear about that. If you're both happy in your lives and, you know, and you don't have to engage sexually to be happy. I mean, there's that as well. If you're both happy and that's consensual, that's okay as well. This is an interesting one. We've never really had anything like this before, a relationship one like this. Well, Jen, myself and my girlfriend have recently broken up because of her ex-boyfriend, who she has a child with, constantly making life difficult for us and causing her to be stressed out constantly. I believe she got rid of me because she feels trapped by him and we can't progress because of it. She is the love of my life. Is there anything one can do or anything we can do to get back together? What do you think?
That's a really sad and hard situation, because obviously we have no idea actually what's going on for that other person, whether it is to do with that. Maybe she didn't want to be with this guy anymore. Maybe she's, you know, just not that into him.
Yeah.
Or maybe it absolutely is that she felt so much pressure and so much guilt and exhaustion from dealing with this other person, the father of their child. That, you know, absolutely that could be a factor. So I would say, again, you know, if she has said she doesn't want any more contact from you, then you need to respect that. But if she is willing to engage with you, you might talk about going to a couples therapist or her seeing an individual therapist, which could be very helpful for just opening up the kind of lines of communication, not so much necessarily for these two getting back together. But it sounds like this woman is in a very tough situation and may just have been trying to kind of streamline things and also feel really guilty that she wasn't able to give more time and attention to the person who's written in. We just don't have enough information, but I would say, you know, it's certainly worth him, I would say, seeking out therapy to look at the kind of loss around this
yeah.
and the, you know, because it's very painful when you're feeling that. That's awful to feel that you have lost the love of your life because of some other kind of connected but external situation to you. So,
but also you have to respect the fact that if she's ended it and doesn't want any communication, that has to be respected too, without you making up any convoluted excuse in your own head without her saying, you know.
Exactly that. Exactly.
Okay, this is interesting. My partner and I recently opened our relationship. She has been getting a lot of attention from the opposite sex and I've been getting hardly any, which is very difficult to deal with. Have you any tips or advice on how to deal with this?
So this is painful, because it's, you know, I think this is very common at the start of opening up a relationship, whatever people's gender. There is often one person who is getting more attention and finding it easier to go on dates, to connect with people that they're interested in. And sometimes it's more complicated than that. They might be getting more attention and more dates, but they might not be really having that great a time. doing that because they're just not finding that it's really, really fulfilling connections. But it can be really difficult for the other person who is feeling like they're just sort of excluded, left out in the cold. That might be more painful in certain ways if they were the one who was more interested in having an open relationship, and can also be painful in other ways if they were the one who were more reticent about engaging in an open relationship. But I would say, yeah, just, you know, taking some time to do things like journal and be very compassionate towards yourself. It might be engaging in non-monogamy support groups. There's more and more of those. You can certainly find them online, you know, in-person groups, to just feel like you have a support network. Because even if you're very comfortable in being non-monogamous, you know, our society has not really been set up to support that very well yet. And so, you know, it can still feel like you're quite lonely and isolated in that if you don't have lots of other people who are also non-monogamous to talk to. So I would say get some support where possible.
Okay, we got a very long email this morning saying, "Hi, Rachel and Jen, I'm emailing in to ask if you think timing is very important factor when starting a relationship. After a string of rubbish relationships, I met this guy and instantly fell head over heels with him. But neither of our circumstances were in an ideal place to really get going. We did our absolute best for 2 years and were honestly mad about each other, but the hurdles just mounted and we had to make the decision to end it. We were both honest with each other and admitted we were both very heartbroken. It's 2 years on. I still miss him. We are both in new relationships. My new guy is kind and caring and very patient and knows how the breakup affected me. I'm very grateful for all of this and do my best for him. He is so lovely. But if I can't get over my ex, I don't feel it's fair in anyone. Where will there be a sliding doors moment where my ex and I will meet again? Am I wasting my life hoping? SOS."
Oh, okay. So I could hear the amount of stress and preoccupation in that. This again is something that is, you know, pretty common. I think a lot of people have experienced some form of this, and it can be just really difficult and challenging to kind of work out, you know, because there's a lot of assumptions in there, like the idea that you have to be over completely, have complete closure with all of your exes in order to be, you know, reasonably satisfied in your current or future relationships. Sometimes closure is not possible. You know, sometimes it feels like, you know, there just isn't a way to come to a complete resolution over a relationship. And absolutely, timing is a huge factor in many relationships, because there can be all sorts of reasons where maybe you met someone who you believe to be the love of your life, but they're married to someone else and are not planning on leaving that person. You know, there could be all sorts of reasons why timing and your external circumstances mean that it's just not really suitable for you to be together. So this one is a case of, I would say, get some more support about this, because there's probably a lot of things to talk through, because there's so many different threads to it. You know, the kind of fear that you'll feel like you've wasted your life with someone else and that you're always kind of hanging on to the idea that you might get with this past person again, or leaving your current relationship to get with the past person and then it doesn't work out and you feel like you messed the whole thing up. You know, it's like there's just so many kind of permutations there that I think there's probably not going to be some sort of objective right answer or right thing to do. It's about kind of making the best peace you can with whatever you decide to do.
Absolutely. Okay. And lastly, this is an odd one. "In relationships, I am not able to call my partner by their name. What is wrong with me? I must be the only person in the world with this issue. Please help."
Okay. So from that question, I'm not sure whether that person means during sex, potentially, that they don't like to use their partner's name, or in general. And if it's during sex, well, that's okay. You don't need to use your partner's name during sex if you don't want to. If that's something they would really like, I guess you can discuss that and maybe negotiate in some ways. But I would say I don't have enough information here to know what might be the other factors relating to this. This could be to do with a childhood trauma. It could be to do with certain, you know, upbringing or associations that this person has, maybe with this person's name, for all we know. You know, I've no idea if it's something to do with the name itself and the history with that, or what, you know, on some level, it seems like what it represents to the person. Maybe it's about a type of a fear of commitment or feeling suffocated in a relationship that is coming out in this quite specific way. It could be any number of things, but I would say, you know, talk to your partner about it if you can. otherwise, if it's something that is really bothering you, get some support and work it out with a therapist who'll be able to help you with that.
Give them a nickname. Call them something else.
No? give them a pet name.
Give them a pet name.
Come up with a set of pet names.
Yeah, sexy pet
and
name.
And call them whatever you like.
Exactly. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us again this week. We'll chat to you next week. That was Rachel Cook, a sex and relationship therapist. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook. And if there's anything you would like us to discuss in sex and relationship therapy, you can always email the show, jen@rte.ie.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.